verses. They are one of the, if not top five, Old Testament verses. Certainly the number one verse found in the book of Proverbs, quoted the most, memorized the most. And there's such a lot. There's so many doctrines and teachings of the Bible in these two verses. The greatest hope for a joyful life is yielding our lives to Jesus Christ. The greatest comfort we can realize is found in Jesus Christ. The greatest peace we can experience is freely given through and to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it all depends on where you put your trust and who you trust, or maybe even what you're trusting in. Proverbs chapter 3, look with me in verse 5 again, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Solomon writing this wonderful book of Proverbs to his son, reminding him again that he ought to trust in the Lord. And this is a challenge for us, that we trust in the Lord. We trust in him. Depend upon him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we would pray that you would, by your grace, enable us, encourage us, strengthen us to trust you as we ought to trust you, in total dependence upon you. God, may you this morning speak to hearts. Again, I'm simply the teacher giving the scripture, but Lord, we know you, your Holy Spirit gives understanding. Lord, we pray that he would impart that this morning. If there's one here this morning who does not know you as Savior, Lord, may they accept you today. We thank you again, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. We ought to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust him. Again, trust in the Lord, not a person, not a man, not a woman. Don't trust in your finances or your job or your education or anything else other than the Lord. Trust him and him alone. Everyone else will fail you. Everything else will fail you, but God Almighty will never fail you. God is an everlasting God. God is a God that never changes. God is a God. He is God. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what's going to happen in your life tomorrow. He knows what lies beyond the bend. He knows what's around the corner. Again, I love these new cars with their headlights that kind of turn whenever you turn, thinking that's going to help you. That doesn't really help any, because as I've gotten older, I can't see over there. And if there's a curb out in the middle of the highway, I'm just going to hit it because I can't see it. So don't drive around me anymore at night. Night's a bad time. It's a bad time. But these cars, those headlights try to go around the corner, but they can't make it around the corner. But God knows what's around the corner. He knows everything that's going to happen. He knows everything that has happened. And we can trust him. We can trust him. I think one of the things we need to be reminded of this morning, and I thought about this week, John 14, verse 9. This is Jesus speaking, and Jesus says to his disciples, "He that hath seen me," remember who's speaking, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "He who hath seen me hath seen the Father." He says in another part, he says, "I and my Father are one." Can I remind you, when the disciples saw Jesus, they saw God, that Jesus was God in the flesh. Timothy tells us, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The Bible speaks in Hebrews chapter 1, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. Think about, again, Corinthians saying that he is that light, that he is that light, that he has been given to us. When we see Jesus, we see God. Amen. And so think about it for a moment. Jesus, if Jesus is God, which he is, the Bible very much plainly states that, then when we see Jesus and what he does, we see God and what he does. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ had power over the wind? As we learned from the Bible conference again this morning, this last week, we're reminded again that Jesus Christ, while on earth, was all-powerful. He was also all-knowing. He knew the thoughts of all mankind. He knew their thoughts. And he had control of the wind. He had control of the waves. He had control of the fishes. He had control of the sick and the dead. He raised the dead. He healed the blind. God is all powerful. Amen. and we could trust him. Yep. Jesus merely spoke and the wind stopped. Amen. We are to trust in the Lord with all our heart. All our heart. To trust him entirely with everything we have. To trust him totally. Many of us have been cheated. Many of us, most of us, all of us, if you've lived very long, have been disappointed in another person who we put confidence in. But can I tell you, I've never lost confidence and I've never misappropriated my trust in the Lord. He is worthy. He is worthy of our trust. He is worthy of our confidence in him. Again, our theme verse for last year, Romans 12, Paul said, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that we yield our bodies to him, that we yield our lives to him. Why? Because we could trust him with it. Amen. We could trust him with it. I can't trust the economy. Remember 2008 and 2009? Remember Inflation Gate? That's what I'm going to start calling it. Bidenomics? We're all better off today than we were 3 or 4 years ago, aren't we? That's what Bidenomics teaches us. I shouldn't have got off on politics. That makes everything so negative. No, you can't trust the economy. You can't trust your pocketbook. You can't trust your job. Listen, you can't trust sometimes family. Hello? You ever had anybody disappoint you? Ever had a mentor disappoint you? You ever have a mentor stab you in the back? I've never had that happen. I could go on and on and on of disappointments that I have faced, and I know, again, if I've faced them, you have as well. But can I tell you that God will never disappoint you? Amen. We can trust him. Present your lives to him. Yield to him. Give your life to him. By the way, number one, for salvation. I'm telling you, Romans chapter 10 says that we believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Believeth, trusteth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm thankful. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that God is not a respecter of persons. That he loves everyone. No matter your social, economic, or ethnicity, God loves you. God loves me. He loves all of us equally. By the way, he loves us unconditionally. That's something a human being can't do. He loves us unconditionally. And therefore, God sent his son into this world that he might die for us, that he might shed his blood for our sins, that he might go to the cross, and there he who knew no sin became sin for us. The Bible says in Isaiah that God laid on him the iniquity of us all, that God laid on Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, the sin of us all. Jesus Christ on the cross took the sin of all the world. He took the sin of the past. He took the sin of the present. He took the sin of the future. He took all the sin of all the world, of all the times. He took it upon himself, and there he paid the price. There he gave his life for our sinful condition. For our selfish condition. See, the Bible says the wages, the penalty of sin is death. Jesus took my death. Amen. Jesus died in my place. Amen. He took your death. He took your penalty. He died in your place. Amen. Why? Why? To rescue us. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to rescue us from the penalty of sin. I'm thankful he also came to rescue us from the power of sin. And one day from the presence of sin. I'm looking forward to the day he returns. And the Bible says we'll be as he is. But are you saved this morning? Have you been rescued? Have you put your trust in him for eternal life? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want you to know that Jesus says, I'm quoting Jesus. He said, I am the only way. The only way to escape hell. The only way to escape the penalty of sin, which is hell. The only way to escape hell is to put your trust in Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection as your only means of salvation, as your only means of being rescued from the penalty of sin, have you put your trust in Him? So many put their trust in other things. Some put their trust for eternal life. They put their trust in their good works. Can I tell you, good works won't get you to heaven. Being a good person won't get you to heaven. Being better than your neighbor or being better than your Sunday school teacher, which is not hard, being better than whomever doesn't get you to heaven. Giving the offering, giving to the Salvation Army, giving to nonprofit organizations, giving alms does not get you to heaven. Amen. Let me tell you, getting wet in the baptistry doesn't get you to heaven. Being sprinkled as a child doesn't get you to heaven. Being poured on as a kid by a priest doesn't get you to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Being a Baptist doesn't get you to heaven. Right. We're all going to get to heaven and be surprised. There's other denominations up there. Right. We're going to fall, faint. No. Simply putting your trust in Jesus, His life, His perfect life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection for the dead is what rescues us from the penalty of sin. Right. See, we have a sin problem. Sin is what keeps us from heaven. Sin is what keeps us from eternal life. Right. We must have our sin question or our sin problem, we must have it dealt with, and Jesus dealt with it for us. Amen. He paid the price for us. Trust Him for eternal life. If you haven't done so, you can do so today. And then this life. Trust Him for this life. This life can be one of joy. You can live this life abundantly. See, Jesus Christ didn't come just to save us and rescue us from hell. He came to give us an abundant life now. He came to give us a better life now. Listen, there is nothing like living the Christian life. There's nothing more joyful than living the Christian life. The Christian life is a life of peace. The Christian life is a life of joy. The Christian life is a life of contentment. All the things out there that the world seeks, all that the humanistic, the selfish desires that we seek, all are found in Jesus Christ and are complete in Him. See, the world can't give that perfect peace. The peace the world gives is fleeting. The contentment that the world gives is fleeting. Listen, I buy a new car, and it don't take very long. I make the first few payments, and it's all fleeting, right? Hello? Things don't bring joy, and they really don't bring happiness, but just for a little bit. You can only escape so long. You can only take so many vacations, and then you have to come back to the real life. And listen, when you come back to the real life, that real life is found in Jesus. If that real life is one of trusting in God and trusting in Jesus Christ and living daily for Him, can be and will be a life of joy. Amen. You say, well, what about all the problems? I'm thankful that the Lord is there. Not to take away my problems, though He can, but He's there to take me through the problems. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. I have one who walks with me. Trust Him. Trust Him. Be careful who you lean on. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. Be careful who you lean on. The world's philosophy is that of trusting in yourself, dependence upon self. You're number one. Can I tell you? I let myself down. I have a lot of good intentions. Don't you? Yep. I have a lot of good intentions. But I let myself down more than anyone else has ever let me down. Right. Can't trust self. Don't lean onto your own wisdom. Don't lean on your own knowledge. Lean into the Lord. Trust in His wisdom, not yours. James chapter 1 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. True wisdom comes from God. And by the way, the Bible is where we obtain knowledge. The Bible is where we can glean knowledge. But it is Christ who gives understanding. Amen. He is the one that gives us the ability to apply that knowledge that we receive. And then today, reminding you that we are to trust in Him with all our heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, but listen, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. We ought to acknowledge Him in everything. The rest of this message is going to be pretty simple. It is simple. It's seemingly simple. But it's hard to do. Have you ever heard that kiss, keep it simple? I can't use the last word. Keep it simple, son. Yeah. Keep it simple. This is simple. This is a simple point. And that is, number one, consult him in everything. Notice again what it says. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Consult him in everything. All thy ways acknowledge him. Every step should be consulted. Every step you take, you ought to consult the Lord. James 4:15 says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You've got to be reminded, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. In fact, that's what James chapter 4, verse 14 says. No man knows what's going to happen tomorrow, but God does. And if God wills, we will do this or that. See, every day, all of life's decisions, every fork in the road, we ought to depend upon him. Acknowledge him. I love what one commentator said. He said, God loves to be consulted. He loves to be consulted. He loves for his children to talk to them. Don't you love it when your children come to you? Hello? When they come to you for advice and for counsel, isn't it a blessing to you? God loves to be consulted. By the way, let me put it this way. God loves to be consulted first. Amen. First, and we have to get in the habit of that. As Christians, we ought to consult the Lord first. Before we go to friends and before we seek wisdom from others, we ought to go to God first. I'll never forget, we were in the building behind us in the old auditorium in 2011. In 2010 and 11, we were packing it out. And we just come through 2008 and 9. The economy, you know, just tanked. And there was a lot of skepticism about the economy. And the decision was, how are we going to build this next building, which is the building you're sitting in now? And so I called a pastor friend and asked, who do you consult? Who do you go to for advice when it comes to that? And let me stop and back up and preach and by example. We prayed about it. In fact, there's men in this room and ladies in this room who prayed hard about it and sought God's face about it. What do we do? And we made some practical changes. We made a lot of the leadership made them sit on the front row. Maybe we ought to do that now. No, no, not many amens. We asked family of those leadership to sit up front. We asked leadership to park in Timbuktu. That's a real place, by the way. Timbuktu. We did a lot of practical things to try to do, but we were still hanging people from the ceiling. And I called a particular pastor friend and said, hey, who do you go to for consulting? Who do you consult with? And they sent me to a man, and I emailed this man, who is a famous author, and I thought, not in a million years will they ever answer my email. He will never email me back, and he did. I fell on the floor. Here's this guy who's written like 30 books, and he is the one, you know, that people go to. And anyway, after consulting with him and him emailing me back and forth and giving us good information and about borrowing and all, just lots of information, we had to come to the conclusion that we didn't have what we needed to get it done. We really did. It's just we weren't quite there. And I remember us, the men and us, we kind of took up that same song back in 2004 and 5 and 6. Standing on the promises. God's promise to supply our need. And we believe that. And I'm telling you, over that next 6 or 8 months, God just began to continue to help us grow numerically, even though we couldn't hold anybody. And God did some great and marvelous things, praying and praying and seeking his face. And God directed our paths, and God directed the timing of building this auditorium. We built this auditorium on budget. In fact, we built this auditorium under budget. And 3 months early, it was amazing. Listen, it's about simple dependence upon Him. Just as a child depends on his parents, so should we depend upon the Lord.
Amen.
Are your kids dependent upon you when they're small, when they're growing up? Absolutely. And we are the children of God, and we ought to be simply depending upon Him.
Amen.
To consult Him in all matters. Listen, you can go to those who are wise, and you can go and counsel with them, and you can go to that consulting firm, and you can do all those things, but when it comes right down to it, you need to go to the Lord.
Amen.
You need to seek His face. You need to seek His counsel. You need to seek His guidance on the matter. And whether it's health or finances or job or kids or relational issues or whatever it may be, that we consult the Lord.
Amen.
All difficulties ought to be brought to Him. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And before you seek wisdom from yourself, because that pleases yourself, and before you seek wisdom from friends and parents and whomever else, seek God for wisdom. Go to Him. And let me tell you this, consider no circumstances too clear to need Him. Sometimes we kind of know, oh, well, that's clearly what should be done, and we don't seek God's face. He loves to be consulted. And whether you seemingly see a clear path or you see a path that is full of, things that are in the way, seek His face either way. Consult with Him either way. Whether that is big or small, seek Him in all thy ways, in all thy ways. Go to God.
Amen.
All of your concerns, whether they be personal or temporal or eternal, we must go to Him because in Him we find peace. You ever been there, made a decision, and didn't have peace about it? When you should have waited until you had the peace that you should have had? It's God who gives that peace. I told somebody the other day, there's part of our building projects, I just still don't have peace about it. Until I have peace about it, we're going to continue to plan and plan and plan until we get peace about it. Get that peace, and that peace only comes from God. Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. Brother Knickerbocker, when he was here preaching on the family, brought this up. But where Abraham, what an example Abraham was. Father Abraham, he's our spiritual father. Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, he sought God. Everywhere he went, all the major things that he went, and even some of the small, he built an altar. He built an altar, and God blessed him. God blessed him because Abraham was dependent upon God. And Brother Knickerbocker brought out that there were two times in which Abraham did not build an altar, when he went down to Egypt and when he took Hagar as his wife. And look what happened. When he went down to Egypt, he lied to Pharaoh and he was kicked out of Egypt. And when he took Hagar to be his wife, Ishmael was born, and Israel is still fighting Ishmael. Today, a lot of the Middle Eastern problems today are simply family fighting family. And much of that is because of Abraham's sin and not seeking God before making a decision. We need to build altars. We need to build altars. And that altar ought to be built every morning. Every morning when you get up, that ought be an altar built. I don't mean physically built. I mean to get before God and to read a few verses of Scripture, maybe a few chapters of Scripture, and to pray before you start your day. To seek His counsel, to seek His direction for the day. Build an altar. Again, we ought to counsel with God. Acknowledge Him. I also believe here this term acknowledging in the Hebrew has to do with glorifying Him as well. In other words, giving Him credit where credit's due. Sometimes we don't do that. But can I tell you, it's good for God. It's good for us to give credit to God. By the way, God is good, and you would say, well, God's good all the time, and that's true.
Amen.
But he wants us to recognize that. Philippians 4, 6 says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes understanding. In other words, when we acknowledge God for what He's done and for who He is, and listen, that He's got this, He gives us peace. He gives us peace. There are many examples of this in the Old Testament where credit was ascribed to God and God brought great victories. We think about David and Goliath. David said, listen, Goliath, I'm not coming after you myself, but I come to you what? In the name of the Lord.
Amen.
He understood, David understood that defeating Goliath wasn't going to come from his power. He was just a teenage boy. But he knew victory could come from God because God is all powerful. And God gave him the victory. We think about Joseph and Pharaoh and so many others, Daniel in the lion's den, all these great Old Testament figures which were there for our example and for our learning that showed to us that we ought to ascribe credit to God. We ought to acknowledge him in everything, understanding that he alone is worthy, that he alone is able. Trust him. Trust him. And then lastly, just as a side note, this word acknowledge, the root word, even in the Hebrew, is know. To know him. To acknowledge him is to know him. The more you know him, the more you acknowledge him. I'm telling you, it really comes back to this. This is preached all the time from this pulpit. In other words, it all circles back around to Christ. Christ is our all in all.
Amen.
And listen, the more you know about Christ, the more you know him, as Paul said, that I might know him. As David said, as the hart or as the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after you, O God. And the more we know the Lord, the more we learn about God, the more we understand who he is, the greater we'll trust him.
Amen.
The longer we serve him, the more we'll trust him. The more intimate we know him, the more intimate we get to know the Lord by reading our Bible and by praying and by being faithful to church and hearing gospel message, by being in a Sunday school class where the teacher gets up and he teaches the Word of God and you learn more about Jesus. The more you learn about Jesus, the more you learn about him, the more you'll trust him.
Amen.
And the more you trust him, the more victory you'll have in life.
Amen.
The more life you'll have that is abundant, the more you'll have a life of peace, the more you'll have a life of contentment because you're not placing your trust anymore in yourself. You're not placing your trust anymore in your pocketbook and your bank account and your retirement. You're not putting your trust in your job or even in your family or in a neighbor or whomever it may be. No, you put your trust in the Lord.
Amen.
He brings that peace and contentment in your life. In fact, the reward for trusting the Lord in Proverbs, he says that God will direct your paths. I'm going to cover that next Sunday. We trust the Lord. We build an altar, we come to him daily, seeking counsel from him because he loves to be consulted. We consult him first before we consult our friends, before we consult our parents, before we consult anyone else. We come to him acknowledging him because he's God and he's good and he's loving. He'll direct your paths. He'll give you understanding. Grow in the knowledge of him. Trust in him. This morning, are you trusting in him? Are you trusting with all your heart? It's one thing to trust him, another one to trust him with everything you have. Trust him with everything you have. I don't have my wallet on me, but trust him with everything you have. Where do you go for wisdom? You call the consultant? I'm not saying, the Bible actually does say there's wisdom in multitude of counselors, that it's good to go to others for counseling. The point here is that you go to God first.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with gaining knowledge. There's nothing wrong with gaining knowledge, but God gives understanding. We ought to seek knowledge. We ought to seek knowledge of the Lord and all these things, but it's the Lord who gives us understanding, gives us wisdom. How often and for what reasons do you go to the Lord? How often do you go to the Lord? Do you go to him daily? Are you a 911 Christian? In other words, when bad stuff comes, you seek the Lord. Listen, we ought to go to him daily. The inward man is renewed day by day. Take up thy cross daily and follow me, Jesus said. Christianity is a daily process, not a weekly process or a monthly process. It's a daily process. Go to him daily. And in everything, seek his counsel. In all things, acknowledge him. The big things, the small things, the clear things, and the cloudy things. We should go to him. Go to him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Well, preacher, does that mean pray all the time? It means that we ought to be in connection with God all the time. By the way, the telephone's never busy. You never go to voicemail.
Amen.
When's the last time you heard a busy line? I don't know what that is. Never goes to voicemail. God's always on the line. He's always there. Let's all stand. We have a verse of invitation that invites you to come this morning. Maybe you want to come and pray. Maybe you want to come and consult the Lord about something in your life. Maybe this morning you're not saved. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as Savior. Maybe you've never been rescued from your sin. We'd love to show you from the Bible how you can have eternal life, how you can have your sins forgiven. Christian, this morning, are you consulting Him? When's the last time you consulted Him? Are you trusting Him as you should? I challenge you this morning, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean into your own understanding, but all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct thy paths. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you'd bless this time. We bless this invitation. I do pray, the Lord, that we would trust you as we ought to. Lord, in the big things and the small things, may we put our confidence in you. May we believe you and have the faith to act upon that belief by way of your grace and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 160, turn your eyes upon